L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hey, guys. It's me, Sam Stein, managing editor at The Bulwark. I'm joined by Tim Miller. We're going to dissect the Trump Meet the Press interview from this morning.
I like how I don't have a title. Everybody else gets like Sam, managing editor. Bill, I'm just, it's kind of like I'm like Beyonce. I'm like the Beyonce of the Bulwark. You know, we don't need any description.
If you were the Beyonce, we go, this is Tim.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Tim Miller. First name basis. I'll give you a title when I have the right words for the proper title. It's just so elated. You know. All right. Meet the Press. Trump loves the show. I mean, I know he shits on TV and networks all the time. He just can't get enough of this stuff because it feels like this is like third or fourth Meet the Press interview the election. But we'll put that aside. He had a lot to say. We're going to play four clips in total. My big picture takeaway is that in a way, and I know this sounds crazy, but in a way, I feel like I'm getting a little callous to Trump because he said a lot of like very off the wall stuff. And I read the transcript. I was like, well, is it that crazy that he's questioning the Constitution? Like, yeah, that he has to uphold this stuff? That seems like normal. Is it that crazy that he's like saying he might invade this country? So I'm worried about that. I'm actually worried about that. I'm too calloused at this point.
I'm worried about that for you too.
Yeah.
It's like, there's like a dog bites man element to it. It's like, right, he's doing the Greenland thing again. And it's like, okay.
But he might not do due process. It's like, we've been there.
My takeaway from it at the big picture, and this is something that I was thinking about going back to the interview with The Atlantic, when, you know, Ashley Parker and Michael Shear were asking him kind of if he's worried about the economy. And he says something to the effect of like, I already won, you know, like, no, like I'm not worried about it. Like, I won and people voted for this and we'll see what happens. And I think that's in some ways a little dangerous for his political project and the people around him, that he does kind of seem more so than in the past, like willing to be like, whatever, we can take some pain. I don't care. I do feel like in the first term, he obviously did crazy stuff, but a lot of times he got pulled back from the brink because he didn't like the bad press. He didn't want his numbers to go down. He was very sensitive to that. He feels less sensitive to that now. So that's my big picture psychoanalysis.
I haven't test run this idea, but I'm going to now because I've been thinking about that through the prism of, is he or is he not actually serious about a third term?
Yeah.
And I don't think he's actually that serious because of this. Yeah. I think he doesn't give a fuck because I think he knows that this is it. And public opinion doesn't actually materially matter for him at this point. And I don't really think he cares that much about J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio, whoever else would get the nomination. I think it's all about him.
Yeah.
And it's gotten in my head that almost like, do I kind of want him to want a third term? Like, do I want him to be like reactive to, you know, public opinion more? Because it seems like he's got a higher tolerance for pain at this point.
Right.
And this is a man who already has,
obviously, just to be clear, you don't want him to want it because you're hoping for four more years of Trump, but because then he would be more responsive to political realities.
I thought that was self-evident.
Okay. I just wanted to say it explicitly.
I actually want the full, 12 here.
I don't know. It is. I agree with you on that. And I think that the thing that has always worried me about the third term and the potential chaos at the end is it's like, who knows what fucking 81-year-old Trump, could want, right? Like, you know what I mean?
Truly off rocker.
Like, and so I just think the unpredictability of that is the thing that worries me the most. But anyway, let's get to the clips.
Let's get into the clips. All right. First clip. Here we go. He's going to be talking about, does he actually have any responsibility for this economy? And this is what he has to say.
You've been arguing all week that this is President Biden's economy. Is this now your economy, sir?
Well, I think certain aspects of it are. Costs are. I was able to get down the costs. But even that, it takes a while to get them down, but we got them down good. We lost $5 to $6 billion a day with Biden. $5 to $6 billion. And I've got that down to a great number right now in a record time. You know, we're talking about 100 days. But just think of what that is, $5 billion a day we're losing on trade. And we were very tough with China, as you know. We put 145% tariff on. Nobody's ever heard of such a thing. And we've essentially cut off trade relationships by putting that much of a tariff on. And that's okay. We've gone cold turkey. That means that we're not losing. You know, we lost $1 trillion to China. $1 trillion. That means we're not losing $1 trillion when we go cold turkey, because we're not doing business with them right now. And they want to make a deal. They want to make a deal very badly. We'll see how that all turns out, but it's got to be a fair deal.
When does it become the Trump economy?
It partially is right now. And I really mean this. I think the good parts are the Trump economy and the bad parts are the Biden economy, because he's done a terrible job. He did a terrible job on everything.
Classic. I actually chuckled, and I only read the transcript, but I was chuckling.
Is that because you're hungover or because
I'm quite hungover, as you can probably tell. But I was reading, I was like, oh my God, that's such a, I get the credit for the good parts and Biden gets the credits for the bad part. It's like, of course he says that.
It is a classic Trump. I do think, not to be classic bulwark, but it's also kind of a sign of weakness. Like, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, to have to do that.
To have to do it. Yeah. You should want to take full credit. I get it. All right. That was not that exciting. But then he was asked about this quote that he had given earlier this week, where he was talking about, you know, this is at the cabinet meeting, kind of infamously. They're like, look, the cost of some goods are going up. And like, to your point, he was like, we can stomach this. But he had this line about paying for more dolls or having only $2 versus $30 for your little girl. And Welker, Kristen Welker, asked him about it. And he expands on it. And this is what he says.
You were at your cabinet meeting. You said, quote, I'm going to quote what you said. Maybe the children will have two dolls instead of 30 dolls.
Yeah.
And maybe the two dolls will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally. Are you saying that your tariffs will cause some prices to go up?
No, I think your tariffs are going to be great for us because it's going to make us rich.
But you said some dolls are going to cost more. Isn't that an acknowledgement that some prices will go up?
I don't think a beautiful baby girl that's 11 years old needs to have 30 dolls. I think they can have $3 or $4 because what we were doing with China was just unbelievable. We had a trade deficit of hundreds of billions of dollars with China.
When you say they could have $3 instead of $30, are you saying your Americans could see empty store shelves?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they don't need to have $30. They can have three. They don't need to have 250 pencils. They can have five.
All right, so I thought that was wild too. And then he went on and he just talked about pencils and who needs 250 pencils when you can get five pencils. I don't really
know. Who has 250 pencils?
Who has five pencils? I mean, I guess my kid does because he's in school, but like, first of all, dolls and pencils, he is very much stuck in an alternate era, but
in the 1950s era.
Yeah, the 50s.
Starters, my daughter's finally radicalized against Trump.
Why?
After
the dolls?
Over the dolls. Having to go down to two dolls would be an absolute Hiroshima event in my home.
Have you ever tried to take a stuffy away from your child? It is like, oh my God.
You always have to do it in secret. You always have to do it in secret.
You take one at a time strategically until they wake up one day and they're like, wait a second.
Where's the tiger? Tiger? Did you misplace it? You might have misplaced it.
I don't know, man. They
anyway,
walk, you know?
Yeah. She's radicalized. But I talked to Derek Thompson about this a bunch on Friday. And it's like, the whole thing is pointless. Like, what is the point? Like, we are creating shortages for what? Like, you do see some of this on the left, particularly in around climate, right? Where people are like, we should consume less. Like, they're like, there's a goal for this. We've got to, you know, protect our natural resources, et cetera. So like, I think that's a very unpopular political opinion. And you notice most Democratic presidents don't run on that platform, but that exists. And that's a coherent worldview. What is even the point of this? We are going to stop.
We have to nationalize our doll supply chain.
Yeah, we're going to stop importing dolls from China because we want to manufacture more iPhones in America. Like, there's no like, is there a goal to manufacture more dolls and pencils here? I don't think so. Is that like to create jobs for folks? Like, it's just about some imaginary like balance sheet in his head where he doesn't like the trade deficit. And so it's like, so we can even Steven the trade deficit, I'm going to make, you know, little Janie like have fewer dolls for Christmas. It's insane.
It's insane. I actually listened to your conversation with Derek. I thought it was, I mean, it was spot on, because if the idea here is like, look, we need to, we have to like shore up our supply chains on critical matters like semiconductors or, you know, pharmaceuticals or whatever, like, cool. Like, I get the idea behind tariffing those things and trying to initiate some sort of repatriation. I don't think we need to do this for dolls. Like, I just don't.
Who does? Nobody does.
Trump does. But the only sort of charitable way to think about it is that I don't actually think he thinks this way. Maybe he does. Is that he wants to inflict pain on China, right? Like, to get them to the like a different spot in the negotiations. And so maybe if you just inflict across the board pain and just hit everything, and the American people will suffer in the interim, but in the long term, you get better leverage in your trade negotiation. I mean, maybe that's it.
Oh my
but
God.
Nobody has
enunciated that strategy as clearly as you. So if that is true, I'd like to hear it from the administration. But he's getting rid of the biggest China hawks in the administration. I mean, Waltz is more of a China hawk than these other guys. So
I know. Well, that is the weird irony of it, is like, who's running this? Because Navarro is the China hawk and he's been sort of sidelined. Waltz has been sidelined, and it's kind of weird, which makes me just think it's all in Trump's head, right? Like, he's just trying to, like,
yeah, I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, perfect. All right, let's switch to the two foreign policy elements on Meet the Press. First, this one was interesting because it comes in the wake of obviously the Canadian elections. He was asked about the new prime minister there, who is apparently coming to Washington, D.C. This week, and also called Trump and talked about it. And look, it sounds like Trump has a better relationship with Carney than he did with Trudeau. Here's what he had to say about Canada and in relation Greenland.
You and I talked, and I asked you if you would rule out military force to take Greenland, and you said no, you don't rule out anything. Would you rule out military force to take Canada?
Well, I think we're not going to ever get to that point. It could happen. Something could happen with Greenland. I'll be honest. We need that for national and international security.
But not with
Canada? I think it's highly unlikely. I don't see it with Canada. I just don't see it. I have to be honest with you.
Okay, but you don't rule it out for Greenland.
And by the way, Canada, they spend less money on military than practically any nation in the world. They pay NATO less than any nation. They think we're subsidized. They think we are going to protect them. And really, we are. But the truth is, they don't carry their full share, and it's unfair to the United States and our taxpayers.
But you are not ruling out military force to take Greenland.
I don't rule it out. I don't say I'm going to do it, but I don't rule out anything. No, not there. We need that. We need Greenland very badly. Greenland is a very small amount of people, which we'll take care of and we'll cherish them and all of that. But we need that for international security.
All right. So I know you have some thoughts on this.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing there is, there is this gimmick that happens, this like cat and mouse game with Trump on these interviews with the Christian Welkers of the world. And I don't really know there's a good solution to it. So this isn't really a critique. But you have this thing where the reporter will be like, will you rule out insane thing X that he had bleated about? And he does the, well, you can't rule anything out. And then like the headline is Trump doesn't rule out doing insane thing X. And like, that's fair. Like, but it also is a little bit like, well, the reporter actually inserted the idea into the conversation, so I take it with like a little bit more of a grain of salt. In this exchange, the reporter asks, will you rule out invading Canada? And he kind of does, actually. But then he volunteers, but I will not rule out going into Greenland with military strategy. And to me, that is now Trump inserting that idea into the conversation himself. And so it carries more weight. And again, I just like, we're in the middle of these negotiations, supposedly, and the sub-negotiations and the sub-sub deals with Europe. And it's like, if you're Europe, if you're Denmark, you're the EU, like, this is the president of the United States volunteering to a reporter that that we have serious national security issues in Greenland and we might invade. Like, it's on the table. Like, that is like very serious, and I think has very real implications in addition to just being like completely off the
yes, chain. It's off chain. And yes, the fact that he was the one who brought it up adds an element of seriousness to it. I will just note, again, I back to the being callous, but it wasn't that he ruled out invading Canada. He just called it highly unlikely. I just want to be clear. Okay. The more normal thing to be would be like, of course, I'm not going to invade Canada. Highly unlikely this point. Good to know. We're only, you know, 95%.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a small percent chance we might just do it, but don't want to rule out anything, obviously. All right. Last one. Russia, Ukraine. He's asked about, again, we were supposed to have, this thing was supposed to be fucking resolved on day one. Here we are, day 100, whatever. And we're still dealing with this. Difficult shit, but he's asked about Russia, Ukraine. Here's what he says.
Are you any closer to reaching a peace agreement between Ukraine and Russia?
I hope so.
How would you characterize
it? I do believe we're closer with one party and maybe not as close with the other, but we'll have to see. I'd like to not say which one we're closer to, but we did do a deal for the American people that was good. We were able to get rare earth. You know, the Europeans are getting paid back. They have a loan. We didn't. Biden just gave him $350 billion. He has no idea where the money is, what happened. And at least we'll, in one form or another, get our, I don't feel so foolish. And remember this, this is Biden's war. This was a war that was never going to happen if I were president. This is a horrible, horrible war. And I get to see shots of soldiers through, you know, satellite that are so, just so terrible. 5,000 soldiers are being, look, 5,000 soldiers a week on average are dying. They're not American soldiers, but I want to solve the problem. They're Russian soldiers and they're Ukrainian soldiers. And if I can save 5,000 souls, I just love doing it.
All right, so a bit cryptic there. I don't know. Is it, can I, am I reading it correctly? That I'm reading it a certain way. I wonder how you're reading it.
I am genuinely unsure. I could see it both ways. I'll be interested to see which way you land. But let's play it out, though, because I want to give it out, because this is a quote that is offensive and horrific no matter which way it means. Maybe he means that we're closer to getting a deal with Russia than with Ukraine. And like, he knows that he is going to get in trouble if he says that Zelensky is the problematic one. So he like is being cheeky, and he's like, I don't want to say his name, but you know, it's the little Jewish guy running Ukraine that's the problem here. And like, he's being stubborn, and we need to nudge him along. Maybe that's what's happening. I think it's probably more likely it's the other way, where he's like, actually, I met with Zelensky recently, and it's Russia that maybe we're a little further away than he had anticipated, but he doesn't want to say that because he doesn't want to admit it. But if that is what he's saying, bingo. That is horrible, though. Like, this is like, I don't want to offend.
That's clearly what he's saying. That's clearly what
I don't want to offend Vladimir Putin. I can't. But I mean, they just think about how he's being
rated. He can't be critical in public of Putin.
Yeah. He's berated Zelensky over and over again. And it's like he can't even say that Putin is not as amenable to this peace deal as I thought, as we hoped he would be. Like, you can't say that. I mean, that is, again, that makes him the junior partner to Putin in this negotiation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And that's, it's evident to me that this is what it is, because Ukraine just signed the minerals deal.
Yeah.
They are comfortable with the 30-day ceasefire. Russia violated it. They have been, you know, relatively, stable negotiators on this peace deal. Obviously, they're not wanting to recognize Crimea, right? But it's evident across the board that Russia is the aggressor here. And I think it's dawning on Trump a little bit, finally, that he is being completely played and bent over by Putin. And it's like, the problem is he can't admit it, right? He can't admit it. Because as soon as he admits it, he looks like such an idiot. And so that's why you have answers like this. It's bad. It's bad. But I think the other way would have been worse.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I mean, it's not great. He's in a pretty terrible situation. I guess it would.
It's his own making, though.
Yeah, it would be good. It would be good only if it was like he was. There's a chance that he could get so upset that it didn't work out that he would then turn to supporting Ukraine. But I think that he's cornered himself in such a way that's not possible.
Once you berate Zelensky like that and whip up your supporters to think that Ukraine is a corrupt, horrible place that is just sucking US money,
right,
and that this could all be the beginning of World War III, you can't go back from
that. You can't go back. I know.
So that's where we're tough. At. All right, man. Thank you for watching this. Appreciate it. Thank you for jumping on me. Appreciate it.
Go Nuggets.
Go nurse this hangover. Hey, congrats to the Nuggets. You're gonna get your ass handed to
we'll
you.
See. We'll you're, see. You always got the Joker. You always got the Joker.
You all are right, getting we'll your man. Ass handed. I'm giving you. I give you one win. That's
okay.
It.
I'll take two.
All right. Talk see to you. Later.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.